The Star Sport podcast is brought to you by Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years.
Close your eyes and pull like a dog.
And a new Irish record for Phil Healy, 22.99.
Christy Cooney hands over the Sam Maguire Cup to Graham Canty, Cork All-Ireland champions for the seventh time ever.
Hello and welcome back to the Star Sport podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Mangan, and I'm joined today by Star Sport reporter Sean Holland. The Star Sport podcast is, of course, brought to you in association with our friends at Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, where your bank really does matter. Choose credit union, choose local, choose community. But let's start today, Sean, and it's take two in the Beamish Cup final this weekend between Clonakilty Soccer Club and Drina Rangers. They face off, weather permitting, this Sunday at 2 p.m. in Turner's Cross. And Clon will be looking to buck the trend, as this season the sides have already met twice, with Drina winning on both occasions. So the Beamish Cup final is always a big occasion, obviously, in West Cork soccer. And it's kind of a clash of two heavyweights this weekend.
Mm-hmm. It is, Dylan, and it's especially very unique when teams from West Cork get a chance to go up to Turner's Cross, where the game will be played on Sunday. But these are two teams that are high flying in the league. They've, as you mentioned, they've met recently both in the Parkway Hotel and Maybury Coaches Cup, and in the league there 2 weeks ago. Drina have got the better of Clan on both occasions. So it'll be interesting to see if that plays a factor on Sunday. But with the exception maybe of Tork or Celtic, who are pushing Clan very hard as well in the league, these probably are the two best teams in West Cork at the moment. So it should be a good one on Sunday.
You mentioned the league there as well. Like, it's probably a good time to mention the how close it actually is. Even if you look, Salon are up there as well, but it's kind of, the West Cork League can be a little bit difficult to predict at times, because if you look at the games played, they can be quite varying. Like, Drina, I think, have played 9 games, whereas Clan have played 13 or 14. So while on the point scored table it looks like Drina are a mid-table team this season, that isn't the case. Like, they're obviously the defending champions, and they'll be looking to kind of catch up to Clan over the next couple of weeks as they play their games in hand. But you'd probably prefer to be Clan in the sense that you have the points on the board, as opposed to relying on winning games in hand to catch up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in terms of the league, definitely. I suppose Drina were involved in a lot of cup action at the start of the year with various Munster competitions and county competitions. So they have a few games in hand, but anytime they've met this year, Drina just seemed to have the small bit of an upper hand. So you'd say, will that play a part psychologically as well into the team's minds on the weekend? Clan are a good team though. I've got a chance to watch them a good few times now this year, and they're very well organised. John Leahy there in charge, and Lauren Edmead as well on the sideline with them, and they've got a good lot of players there who are, they've been around the West Cork League for a good few years. They have a lot of threat up top. Chris Collins, anyway, every time I've watched him, he's been outstanding. They've got Liam Anthony White in the wing. They've got Joe Edmead up top. They've got a solid goalkeeper, Ian O'Driscoll. They've got Paul Daly centre-back, Reuben Henry centre-back. So they'll be able to push Drina all the way. And then they have options off the bench as well. John Lee's own son, Jonathan, on the bench as well. Very good soccer player. So it'll be interesting how it plays out on Sunday. Drina probably would be slight favourites, just going off recent results and them having played 2 weeks ago. But it's a case as well of Drina know how to win finals. They've a lot of medals in the pocket over there now between league and cup. And the Clan side, they've got to this stage 3 times in recent years. But on each occasion, they've fallen at the final hurdle. So it'd be interesting to see if they can get over the line on Sunday. And, you know, they have the talent, they have the ability, they have the coaching. But Dreen are just these serial winners. You know, they know how to get the job done. But it'll be interesting, and it's well worth for anyone that's free on Sunday to go up to Turner's Cross and have a look, because both these sides do play good quality football. And when they have a surface like Turner's Cross at their availability, they can showcase that.
Yeah, absolutely. We hope that the surface kind of holds up in Turner's Cross, because as we mentioned, this is the second attempt at this game being played. It was called off previously due to the weather. The weather this weekend, or the forecast this weekend, isn't the best. And obviously Cork City will be playing at home this Friday. So the pitch could be tested this weekend, let's say. So we hope that it holds up for Sunday. We'll keep an eye on that here in the Southern Star. Obviously, if the game is called off again, or if it's rescheduled again, we'll let you know. So just keep an eye on our social media channels and we'll be able to update you there. I just want to ask you as well, Sean, how much does I guess the slight underdog tag for Clonakilty? These are very well matched teams, but you mentioned there Drina kind of have the advantage this year in beating Clan twice. Like you mentioned there, Clan have been to this stage a couple of times in the last little while and haven't quite managed to get over the line. Will that slight underdog tag almost help them? Because they're in incredible form. Like, I think they've lost one game in the league this year. They've drawn one game in the league this year. Last weekend they beat Beara 10-0. So like, it's not like they're actual underdogs coming into this game. But as you say, Drina just are kind of almost the Real Madrid of West Cork in a sense, that they just can find ways to win every year.
Mm-hmm. No, you're dead right. They probably will have that slight underdog tag going into them, and they will have the extra bit of motivation as well of getting to finals and not winning them, you know, and they would love more than anyone, you know, to get over the line on Sunday. But Drina are a very good team, you know, they're very tough to break down. Clan play, you know, a very fast-paced, you know, counter-attacking football. And in the last game, Drina were kind of like holding a high offside line, which was maybe catching Clan a bit unawares the last day. So I'd imagine the management team from Clan will have that studied. They'll have ways of coming about that. But as I mentioned there, with the players they have and the talent they have, and even their league form, you know, even you mentioned that their 10-0 win on the weekend, you know, that's the perfect tonic coming into this final, you know. So they have all the ability. It's just a case of, will things fall their way on Sunday? Obviously, if it's a draw, extra time penalty, so will they be practicing penalties as well in training? You'd be expecting so, but hopefully there'll be a big crowd turnout to watch them, because they are two good quality teams, and it's great for the promotion of West Cork when you get a final up in Turner's Cross. But it'll be interesting. You know, if you're a betting man, you might say Drina, but Clan, you know, with a slight underdog tag, you know, not having won it before, they could come out firing as well on Sunday.
Yeah, so only time will tell. We'll obviously have full match reports and coverage of that game in next week's Southern Star, obviously hoping that it does go ahead. So we'll keep an eye on that. And like I said, just keep an eye on our social media over the next couple of days just to confirm that game is going ahead. But next week's Star should be a great souvenir piece for one of those two teams, depending on the winner on Sunday. Now, Sean, it's time to look ahead to this weekend's Munster Championship quarterfinal, or the opener, where Cork take on Limerick. That's on in Super Value Park Ecuave this Sunday at 2 p.m. And it's a strange one, Munster Championship here. It's a bit of a low-key build-up on kind of both sides in Cork and Limerick, but it is in many ways a huge game for Cork and for John Cleary's men. Obviously, the league didn't get off to the best start, but they've been in good form over the last couple of weeks and kind of saved their league campaign with some good wins in the last couple of rounds. And Kerry await the winner of this this Cork Limerick game, and you would be hoping, it's a bit presumptuous to say that it'll be Cork Kerry in the semi final, but considering Limerick and Cork's form, you'll be hoping that Cork will put Limerick to the sword this weekend.
Mm-hmm. No, being honest, you know, calling a spade, they should. Limerick have been awful, to put it plainly, in the league this year. You know, if you put all 32 teams into, a big league table, Limerick would be smack at the bottom, right at the bottom. Only themselves and Kildare have not got a single point this year in the league. And they haven't been able to score either. They've been averaging just about 10 points a game and conceding just around 17. So you'd be thinking that would almost be a benchmark for Cork, that they'd be looking to win by at least 6 or 7 points. And they should do too, because in fairness, they dug themselves out of a very big hole there. After 3 weeks, things were looking very grim for them, but to their credit, and you have to give them credit, they dug out some massive results there. Mara Shanley's goal in Fermanagh was almost like the spark that they needed for the season, that small bit of luck. And then they bounced on that then with wins against Kildare, Meath, and then even the game against Armagh the last day was a cracking game. But they got to be wary too. You know, it's all well and good looking at Limerick and seeing that they're not going well. But Cork went into a game last year in the Munster Championship after finishing the same position in the league, kind of similar record, and going against the Clare side they were expected to beat. And they got caught in the hop. I don't expect that to happen this weekend, but they have to be wary and speak with John Cleary as well after the Armagh match. That's going to be one of the main messages he's going to be giving to his squad this week and before the game, just to tread carefully. But also just looking to put in a good performance, because as you said, it's going to be Kerry down the line. You know, Limerick and Kerry, there's just no comparison between the two. It's chalk and cheese. So they really need to put in a good performance and put Limerick to the sword if they're going to give Kerry a good rattle in Killarney in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, is that the minimum here? Like John Hayes is writing in this week's Southern Star, which is in shops now, that the Rebels must show their ruthless streak against Limerick. So focusing on Cork, I guess, as opposed to Limerick in this instance, they have improved over the course of the last 2 or 3 months, after a rough start in the league, as we mentioned. Is the momentum that they're kind of building, is it how important is it to continue that, especially considering we're all talking about a Munster semi-final against Kerry in a couple of weeks' time? Is it really important here that Cork can kind of prove not only to all of us but to themselves that they can put a team like Limerick to the sword?
Oh, it's huge in terms of just how they go on this season. They only barely get over the line against Limerick. Questions would be asked again. But no, I do feel they've come on a lot now in the last few weeks. And a lot has been down to, almost getting a stable team. Getting the kind of similar players playing with each other, the same names out there week in, week out. One of the big factors has been the inside forward line and how Brian Hurley, who was almost carrying the sword there with the last 5-10 years, that he now has a couple of other lads to take the pressure off him. Chris Oak-Jones, who's been very good in the last few weeks from play, scores and play, is huge. And then you've Conor Corbett as well alongside him. So when you have a free scoring full forward line, that makes life a lot easier for Cork. And then they have the likes of Brian O'Driscoll and Sean Powter carrying the ball forward, and Colm O'Callaghan, another player who's probably been Cork's standout player in the middle of the pitch. Himself and Ian Maguire have built up a good relationship. And they've seemed to solidified their back line as well, with Sean Meehan, Tommy Walsh, Mara Shanley, the likes of Daniel O'Mahony as well. Luke Fahey is almost lockdown number 5. Matty Taylor is ever present at 7. It's a big thing for Cork as well that they've nail down pretty much a starting 15 with a couple of places up for grabs as well to keep lads champion the bit in training. But that's the main thing, that lads are used to playing with each other, they're used to their styles, strengths and weaknesses. That'll be big coming into the game against Kerry, because Kerry know who are their, you know, their team is. They know their big players. We all know it's going to be like David Clifford, Paddy Clifford, you know. They're relying on these fellas. At least Cork know as well now, they have other options inside, especially for scoring, because scoring was a big problem there even last season. But looking ahead to Limerick, Limerick won't be offering much in the way of an attacking threat, being honest. They should be able to hold them to, I'd say, less than 12 points. And then if they can put up a score, maybe 216, 217, like they did again against Armagh, they have the ability for it. They've done it against quality teams like Armagh. So you'd be expecting, and I'd be expecting Cork to be winning, you know, by over two goals at the very least.
Is that a dangerous kind of position or a dangerous mindset for I like, look, we can talk about this all we want, but I'm sure John Cleary and the players aren't necessarily thinking like that. But if you look in this week's Star as well, Kieran McCarthy is writing saying that the Munster football championship needs a shock to shake it from the boredom. And in that sense, he's kind of referring that there to a potential Cork win. If Cork could win the Munster, it might kind of make people sit up and take it or pay attention to the provincial championship, because Sam Maguire is the main show in town, and it kind of feels a little bit like over the past couple of years that Munster is kind of just a warm up for the main thing. Most of that is because Kerry just win it every year. So like, if Cork could go and win it, would that provide the shock that Kieran's talking about there, or are we getting a bit ahead of ourselves, and could that shock be a Limerick win on Sunday?
I could be eating your words here now, but I can't see Limerick winning on Sunday. It's just like, it's inconceivable. Just looking at their league form, it's another thing as well. It's just like Limerick don't care about football, you know, being perfectly honest. It's hurling down there. And, you know, their senior setup, they've very little competitivity in their senior championship as well. Seems like Newcastle West come out of that every year. But it's a case too of, you know, looking at the side of it in terms of the provincial championships. Kerry obviously are very dominant and have been dominant over the last few years. And then you just go across the border to Leinster. Dublin, they're a juggernaut. The only half competitive, well, you could say Connacht as well, but like the Ulster Championship is really the only thing that's keeping the provincial championships afloat, because that's a very competitive championship, you know, in terms of the teams that are in there are all of good quality. So you could see maybe down the line changes coming into provincial championship, maybe putting that before the league, because when you're playing the league, you're playing teams of your own standard. You're getting better games, teams of their own ability. But it's another side of it as well. It's like the promotion that the GA do for their own sport, just really, you know, isn't good enough. It's almost kind of like expected. Even like in the football coverage this week, it's like players aren't made available. You know, they're not really helping push the game forward as well, if you get me. Mm-hmm. You know, you just like taking other examples, you look at other sports, you know, and everyone knows the boost that, you know, not saying the GA have to go around doing Netflix documentaries, but you see the boost that Formula One has got from, you know, Drive to Survive, making, you know, people more personable, you know, almost understanding the person you're shouting for rather than the color of the team or the color of the car. You know, you're shouting for the person, their background, their story. It's tough in GA as well when you don't have that. You know, when you're almost support, everyone supports their county from where they are. You know, that's a given, but you'd almost show more, attend more games if you bought in. You look at club championships, everyone goes to see their own club team play because you know, they know the players, they know their families, they're ingrained in their lives, you know. But it's almost like when you're cordoning off players on provincial teams, when they're not allowing to speak, you know, find out who they are, what they're about, it's tough to get behind it. And it'll be interesting to see how many are actually at the game on Sunday as well, because obviously the quality opposition isn't great against them, but the promotion that the GAA do for their own sport, like, it isn't good enough in terms of barely anyone, like, it's almost crept up on us, the fact that there's this Munster football quarterfinal. It's as if, you know, what's on this weekend? Cork could play Limerick on Sunday and no one might know about it if you know, papers and radio stations weren't talking about it, because the GAA just don't seem to be kind of like pushing their own product. But just getting back to the game itself, Cork should win this easy, you know, calling a spade a spade. Like, they should be aiming to absolutely demolish Limerick. It'll take some time. Limerick will set out their stall. They'll probably go very defensive at the start, and Cork will need to be patient. But their fitness levels, their ability, they should have enough. And we should be looking at Kerry in a couple of weeks. That'll be a story in itself. You know, having won down there now since 1995 in the championship. But the Munster Championship, just to round it off, it needs a big shake-up, you know. It needs a likes of a Cork, a Tipperary or a Clare, but Cork are the most likely to come out of it. But I can see in due course them doing something, maybe moving it before the leagues, to really kind of almost to keep some people happy and the other people happy, you know, to play both sides. But the league format, when you're playing teams, your own ability is way better.
It does need a shot in the arm, like you say. Like, it's funny then on the flip side, when you're mentioning the Ulster Championship, that already this year I've seen people saying that Derry might regret being in such a competitive championship when it comes to the All-Ireland, because the likes of Dublin and Kerry don't get tested as much. They don't, maybe there's not as much kind of coming out of their legs in their provincial championships, and that might give them an advantage come kind of July, August time. Now, that works both ways as well. You could say Derry will be a lot more battle tested. They might be a lot sharper coming into the All-Ireland. So it is a funny one. It is one that does need looking at for sure, because, like, I guess overall, if you look at attendances for Cork football, they're not the best all the time. They have been dwindling, and partly that is probably down to the team not being exactly where people want them to be, but it can't be just that. Like, there has to be more done to kind of get people in the door. So it will be interesting to see on Sunday how many people are there. That game is on, like I said, at 2 p.m. in Parky Cueve. The winner will advance to play Kerry in the semi-final on April 20th. So that's one to look forward to there as well. We leave it there for now. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back just to take a look at this week's paper.
The Star Sport podcast is brought to you by Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years.
Welcome back to the Star Sport podcast, and it's my favorite time of the week as we take a look at what's in this week's Southern Star, which is already in shops and online as you're listening or watching to this podcast. On the front page of this week's Star, we have the Clonakilty RFC under 16 girls, who added a Munster Cup title to their league honours for a clean sweep this season. So it's a great front page and a great souvenir piece for any Clonakilty rugby fans. Also in this week, we are looking at the aforementioned Munster quarterfinal between Cork and Limerick. John Hayes writes in his column that the Cork footballers must lay down a marker against a Limerick team that lost all 7 of their Division 3 league games. So the Rebels must show their ruthless streak there. We also have, we hear from Cork selector Micheál Ócrainín, who says they must take it up another level in Munster. And Kieran McCarthy is looking at Colm O'Callaghan, who has emerged as a key player for Cork. He's ticking a lot of boxes in the Rebels midfield at the moment. So plenty of coverage of Sunday's game there. Kieran also has an interview with the new Carbery Camogie chairperson, Teddy O'Regan, who says his ultimate objective is to increase Camogie playing population in West Cork. So he believes that introducing Camogie in schools will improve standards locally. There's plenty in there for Camogie fans, and it's an interesting read looking at the future of Camogie in West Cork. He thinks that there's a huge untapped potential and pool of talents to be harnessed in the area. Elsewhere in this week's paper, we got some local football reports. Carbery Rangers picked up their first win of the Division One League campaign over Ballincollig, 11-8 there. We got a match report of that. We also have a match report from Castlehaven's victory over Newstown. They had a good Friday last week, beating their fellow West Cork club by 110-17. We are also covering the Beamish Cup. In this week's Star, Sean Holland has a preview of this weekend's game, as we were just speaking about earlier in the podcast. And we also have a match report from Castletown Celtic's brilliant 5-0 win over Castle Lack as they sealed their promotion to the West Cork League Premier Division. Elsewhere, we have plenty of road bowling, we have sailing, we have rugby, there's motorsport as Keith Cronin consolidates his Irish Tarmac Rally Championship lead. There's local Camogie, there's local rugby, there is schoolboys soccer, and a whole lot more. So pick up a copy of this week's Southern Star. It's in shops across West Cork now. As always, if you're further afield or you can't make it to the shops, you can subscribe to the Southern Star and get it on your laptop, tablet, or phone. Just head to subscribe.southernstar.ie, enter your details, and you'll get an exact replica of the newspaper for less than €2 per week. We also have a brilliant offer on at the moment for anyone who signs up for an annual subscription. You get a free We Love West Cork hat in the post as well. So that's an extra little incentive for you to sign up this week. As always, thanks for listening to the Star Sport podcast. And thanks again to our sponsors at Access Credit Union. If you've enjoyed this, please remember to rate, review and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll be back again next week. Thanks for listening.